Live from Lane County, Oregon, it's the Bo's Nose Show with your host, West Lane County Commissioner Jay Bolchevich. And now, here's Jay.
Good evening from downtown Elmira, Oregon. This is the Bo's Nose Show. And if you want to get in on the action and talk to me, you just need to dial 646-721-9887 and press 1 to let us know that you want to get on with a question, and we'll try and get you involved in the conversation. And tonight we're going to be talking with somebody from the Forest Access for All about access to our federal lands by the public. But as we're getting into that, I'm going to talk a little bit about Indian Creek Watershed Management Plan that is being proposed by the Siuslaw National Forest here in Lane County. And for those that don't know, Indian Creek Watershed is a rather large area of West Lane County near Mapleton, Oregon. And folks may not realize this, but it's about 31,000 acres of land that they're talking about developing a management plan for. And I went to a meeting last week on Thursday night. That's why I played a replay of my show. And to say the natives were restless would be an understatement. So, and most of what it was about was they're proposing some road closures that really got the natives upset, but there were some other things too. I wanted to talk with somebody from this organization, Forest Access for All, because this isn't just about the Indian Creek watershed. This is really a national issue, this trend towards denying public access to public land. So I wanted to talk with John George, who is with Forest Access for All. John, are you there?
Yeah, Jay. I'm sorry I was late getting a hold of you. I just got out of a meeting with a group of people on some road closures in Montana.
Oh, yeah. Busy guy, I bet, you know, because they're proposing road closures all over the place.
Well,
more often.
Right. This deal up here, they just closed half the roads, and they've only got 30 feet they can get off the side of the road. So it's the exact same process they're trying to push at you guys at home.
Wow. Yeah, it's just amazing me how time after time, and they do it now not in some big travel management plan that the public notices. They
right.
do it in little pieces like this Indian Creek Watershed Management Plan.
Yep.
That's a small piece of a national forest, and they slip it through in a local plan, and they just piecemeal it to where they're constantly closing roads that allow the public to access our you know, federal lands. So
right, we can talk about that a little bit if you want.
Oh yeah. So what I'd like to do is let's first start off talking about what is Forest Access for All.
So I'm going to find a spot here in a minute to pull over. But Forest Access for All is a volunteer group of individuals out of Baker City, Oregon, and the core of the group, really, Jay, is to help protect traditional cultural uses of local residents to access natural resources. And that can be from a recreational aspect, or that can be from, anywhere from gathering firewood to huckleberries. I know your folks down there are just as engaged in their mountains as we are at home. And so it's that whole gamut of recreation and subsistence use of the public land.
Yeah, and one of the issues with this Indian Creek is it's a very popular mushroom hunting area, and as they eliminate road access, that also limits some of the mushroom hunting access. So,
and the tough part is it's a lot of our membership, and we've got a lot of younger families that are members of FAFA, but, we have a lot of folks. We have an aging community in Eastern Oregon, a lot like Southwestern Oregon, and it's really hard to see people who have generationally been able to get into these lands And now, just because their bodies are giving out, the Forest Service is telling them they don't have a right to access the land.
Yeah, that's one of the real concerns about road closures, is it really limits access to our public lands for folks that are limited in their mobility. And I kind of wonder how they managed to do that under the Americans for Disabilities Act at times. It seems to be one federal agency can ignore the law, but boy, if you tried to do that as a private business or something like that and make a restaurant that doesn't have a wheelchair ramp, you'd be on the wrong side of the law in a hurry.
We've made those arguments on our side of things, and they've told us that the Forest Service on public land doesn't have to meet those requirements. I do know that there's a lawsuit currently going on the Tahoe National Forest through the California Off-Road Vehicle Association, CORVA. They've been locked in a battle down there for a little bit, trying to get some of those issues squared around, and we'll see how that all goes. But
yeah. So, you know, FAFSA is centered out there in Baker City, but you just mentioned another organization. Are you guys in a network of organizations maybe that
yep.
are fighting for access? Is there, is there an umbrella group?
No, there's not really an umbrella group. Really what you're seeing around the West is a large network of individual clubs and organizations. FAFSA's been around since as a loosely affiliated group of locals, but we really got our legs under us in about 2010 when, with the help of a group called Citizens for Public Use, CPU, they're out of Bozeman, Montana. And they're who really helped us kind of push back on our travel management plan, the formal plan in Eastern Oregon on the Little Outlet. But you have kind of your larger groups throughout the Northwest, Pacific Northwest Four-Wheel Drive Association. They kind of work on these angles, but a lot of the things they work on is more designated routes to groups like Sierra Access Coalition out of Northern California. They're more of a full open forest aspect kind of group. So it's kind of a loose network of individuals is what it is.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see there are groups out there fighting for the public side of this. It often seems that the Forest Service and the BLM have this tendency to only look as far as their plan objectives, so to speak. And
I'll tell you one of the things the public has to be careful of, Jay, and we saw this a little bit with FAFSA, is people get to set back and think, well, I have this group that's watching out for my interests, and the individuals don't get engaged in the process. And what happens is you don't get enough of your own speaking to the message and commenting. And commenting in large numbers is what really affects change on these things. So like on your Indian Grit deal, if you guys can get 200 or 300 or 400 people to start commenting and really getting after the Forest Service, you will affect change on that plan. You may not close the whole thing down, but you will affect some level of change on it.
And that's what I'm hoping to do by focusing on this in this particular broadcast. And I think that they are going to get that 300 or 400 comments, because
I hope so.
Their first meeting they held on this proposed plan, they held it in a smaller Grange hall, and they went over capacity and people couldn't even get in the room. They estimated the crowd there at about 200. They did it at the high school gymnasium in their second meeting last week, and there was well over 100 people there. And I was aware that there were some people that didn't come because they had made it into the first meeting. So, you know, somewhere between that, there's at least 200 very actively engaged citizens with, you know, when you start looking at friends and family that couldn't show up, I'm sure they're going to be able to get that 200 to 400 comments on this one particular plan.
That's perfect, Jay. I mean, the more people you get to comment, the more active the local citizenry gets, the more you're going to be able to affect change on that document. I mean, it's the cornerstone of the whole thing.
Yeah. So how did you get involved as a citizen in FAFSA? What's your background?
So I was born and raised in Northeast Oregon. I was actually born in Baker. I come from a small community called Bates, Oregon. It was a sawmill at one time. It was an Edward Hines sawmill. In the 70s, that mill went down. My grandpa stayed there and kept cutting logs. My dad moved on out to Eugene, Oregon. I stayed around Eastern Oregon as much as I can. I was actually doing work in Afghanistan on the Pakistan border, kind of learning about local governance and how local citizens really have to be involved in their government if they don't want to mess. When I came home, the travel management plan had hit at home, and I wasn't even a member of FAFSA at the time. And my family owns a small mining claim in far western Baker County. It's right on the Baker-Grant County line. And the Forest Service had targeted the road into our piece of private property for closure. And
wow.
My mom, and they had told us, you won't be able to access this anymore. You'll have to walk into it. And my mom and dad, we're all able-bodied people, but, you know, it's a road that had been there since the late 1800s. It was a mining claim. And I started trying to work with the Forest Service, and all I was getting was, it doesn't matter, you're not going to change it. I found out FAFSA was holding a meeting in April of 2012 and started getting involved with them from there. We saw, 470 official appeals hit the regional office in Portland. And there was way more than that, but they withdrew the decision because they couldn't deal with all the appeals. And we still don't have travel management to this day. And it's just become fundamentally ingrained in me that I am not going to let them take what I love and what other people love under some cockamamie idea that you got to lock human beings off the landscape in order to make things better. And I'm not going to give up.
Yeah, that's what always surprises me is this seemingly continuous desire by our federal agencies that humans are bad, and the only way we're going to recover species and habitat is to stop any human activity on that. And it just surprises me of that attitude, because there's, you know, it's not always true that elimination of human activity is actually good for recovery in some areas.
Right. Yeah. Well, and one of the things folks ought to remember is that, and it's going to sound odd coming from me, it's we get stuck in this deal of demonizing every federal employee, and we all need to realize that there's a lot of good people that work in these government agencies, but there are a lot of people who have a personal agenda and want to see their little preservationist state of things done the way they want it done. And we've got to kind of pick those people out, realize who they are, and counteract them at every chance we get.
Yeah, and I see that, with some of these agencies, and I've actually seen it with some of the turnover in the upper-level management over the 8 years of the last administration here, where who gets pointed into those upper levels and then who they promote tend to follow this more environmentalist style agenda, where humans are bad and we need to get them out of the public lands. And that's kind of just been a trend that's been going on. And yet some of the folks that work down in the lower levels under them are actually very reasonable. Came out of, OSU's Forest Management School, are pretty reasonable people on the ground. And I will say, the Siuslaw National Forest folks, although I disagree with their management plan here on Indian Creek, I was at that hearing Thursday night, over 100 people there shouting and angry at them. But they came to a second meeting there knowing they were going to have over 100 people shouting and angry at them to listen to their comments. So, it's pretty courageous of their staff. And then the next day in Florence, I was at a meeting that took most of the day, which was about the Oregon Dunes National Resource Area. natural resource area, which is National Recreation Area. Sorry, that's what the NRA stands for, Oregon Dunes right. National Recreation Area, which is having a problem with invasive European beach grass basically killing off the open sand and dunes.
Right.
And it was a collaborative meeting that the CIUSLA forest folks are leading that has the folks from Oregon Wild and the Dunes Rider Association sitting side by side looking at restoration plans to deal with and right. to deal with the invasive species. So they do some great work in some places, but that just sometimes, you know, in this case where they're being driven by the Northwest Forest Plan, you know, that's 20, you know, over 20 years old and
right.
driven, you know, that was based on some false science around how to save the spotted owl. And they're following the edicts of that plan. And it's their upper level that says, you're going to develop some plans that are going to try and, towards the goals of the Northwest Forest Plan, which is essentially what this watershed management plan is doing. But in the process of doing that, they're talking about closing 16 miles of roadway inside this watershed and decommissioning an additional 12 miles. So that's,
so,
you know, 28 miles of roadway that goes away.
So, and to give some reference to that further, the Wallowa Whitman National Forest, now it, you know, it's the larger body of the travel management plan. There's, when you talk about travel management, you guys are just looking at this project by project closure. It's a little different, but they just came out with a subpart A analysis on our forest at home. They're calling for 1,261 miles of roads to be decommissioned, obliterated. Now,
yeah.
2.3 million acres of forest, but roughly half of the forest is already in a wilderness designation. So when you start taking chunks of access like that away from people, it hurts. And the only way you stop it is having the public be fully engaged in it and actively partaking in the process. That's really how we've affected change on ours.
Yeah, well, that's great. You guys have been effective in stopping that travel management plan, but that's just scary to think about that, because you know, I'm pretty familiar with those. I've ridden some of those Forest Service roads that are paved, or even some of them gravel, on my bicycle. I used to do something called the Oregon Bike Ride, which is like a week of camping and cycling.
Yep.
Not Cycle Oregon, not the 2000. It's only 200. And one of my favorite places to do was up in the Wallowa Whitman Forest up there and go through those towns. We had a stop in Baker, you know, going through Joseph and all those areas out there. So it's beautiful forest, but it's arid, high desert forest in the summertime, and taking road access out of that forest with the forest fire potential just seems to be insane to me.
Well, you know? I mean, you look at where you all have the style of fires we have around home. We lost, it was right at 300,000 acres of ground this summer. Burn up right at 100 homes between Baker County and Grant County.
Mm-hmm.
You tear out these roads for people to be able to get in and fight fires. You're not only putting the resource base at jeopardy, you're putting people's lives at jeopardy over some idealistic concept that, again, if you eliminate human beings, the world is a better place without having people on those lands. And it's just not proving out anywhere. And Jay, I my understanding is, are you a county commissioner?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate your efforts in all this, because throughout Eastern Oregon, I've only found one man, Bill Harvey in Baker County, that is willing to do the things that you're doing. And we need more county commissioners and citizens to stand up like you and Bill do to fight these things. Because we don't have a lot of ground to stand. We don't have elected officials who will stand up for us. So I really want to tell you how much I appreciate you doing that.
Oh, thank you. And I have to appreciate Bill Harvey, because I got a presentation. I can't remember if it was to the ONC Counties Association or it was AOC, where he talked about coordination requirements with federal agencies.
Right.
Where Baker County adopted a natural resource plan.
Yep.
I believe. And then by doing so requires the federal agencies to coordinate with their adopted plan.
That's the thought. FAFSA fought really hard to get that to happen. So under, I don't know, do you know if y'all are working on a forest plan revision yet within the Cayuse law?
No, I don't think we are yet.
Okay. So they've been trying to do a forest plan revision in eastern Oregon for the three core forests. It's the Lyle Whitman, the Mount Shearer, together. They used to operate under their own forest plan. And for 13 years, they've been going through this process, and the counties have been operating under what they called a cooperative agreement, which gave the Forest Service the lead agency status, and the counties negotiated as one county unit to the Forest Service, but the Forest Service always got the final say as to what went on. And FAFSA worked really hard to show the counties how that was detrimental to the residents of the region, and we have asked each county to go to coordination. The only county that's done it so far has been Baker County. And I think it's put them in a stronger position for negotiating what's good for the people of the county versus the greater good of the Forest Service keeps camp. So I don't know if your county's looked at it, but it would be nice if they could.
Yeah, it's something I am looking at, and we may good. Push. You know, right now we're kind of a little bit tied up in looking at the possibility of participating with Linn County in a lawsuit against the state on the state forest trust lands. Yep. And then also we are putting money aside right now for a potential lawsuit against the BLM for the forthcoming resource management plan they're going to be putting forth on the ONC forest lands. So we kind of got a couple efforts going on right now, but that may be the next step, is for us to adopt a plan that we require coordination and do coordination by county, because we just don't seem to be getting anywhere in some of our other efforts. And this Indian Creek Watershed Management Plan is a perfect example of where we could have a lot stronger say as a county with the Cayuse Forest folks if we are required coordination county.
Jay, where are you guys at right now with the Indian Creek project? I mean,
it's just been proposed, and they've put out a scoping letter, and they've held these two meetings. And in fact, they've met much opposition in the two meetings that they proposed a couple of field trips out there with the local residents to meet with them out in the actual field and walk some of the projects. And they've extended the deadline once for comment, and now they've extended it a second time out to April 18th, I believe now. There's plenty of time for folks to go online, read the scoping document, look at the map, and write some comments into the Forest Service right now.
So if there was one message I wanted to leave with, if we're talking with you, and if whoever's listening, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, right now is the time to get involved, because during the scoping period is where the Forest Service really gets down to, these are the things we need to tweak. Once you get out of scoping and it goes to a draft environmental impact statement and the development of the proposed action, it's a lot tougher to change what the plan is. Folks got to get in there right now and get on top of what they're proposing and telling them what they want changed in it, because scoping is really where things happen at.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think that's, you know, the interesting part about this watershed, and it's probably similar to your issue with the mining claim, there's a significant amount of private property that's inside that watershed.
Okay.
It was traditionally a pioneered area. Mapleton goes back to folks that came over the Oregon Trail or even came up the Cayuse Law and settled that area. And the bottom lands close to Indian Creek are mostly private land and matrixed in between all this public forest. And there's even some private forest land, though, outside of that that private homesteading areas. And they're proposing to do a lot of work in the creek, actually, putting in logs and stuff like that, trying to reestablish big wood in the creeks. And there's a lot of concern that that's going to change water course and cause erosion of private property. And so that whole piece of the scoping is at issue, along with the road decommissioning. That and the general purpose of the project, if you read their scope, is basically to try and reestablish this area as old growth. And all of the project, the thinning and stuff, is all designed around, they're going to go in and do this work, and then they're going to let the thing go natural, and they're never going to use this as a for timber harvest or any other. You know, they want it just to end up being basically a wilderness.
That's really what a lot of the nonsense is going on right now is they go in, they close, decommission roads. I don't know if that watershed is close to a already designated wilderness area. But around home, what we've seen is they go in, show that they're closing and decommissioning roads. It's generally along buffers, along wilderness areas. And then they show that as proposed new wilderness area that they're going to look at further down the road. And it's all in an attempt to try to, we call it rewilding things. We're going to remove man. We're going to let nature take its course and, let things go the way they're going to go. And it's really not helping our communities one bit.
No. And that's one of the things I heard, you talked about your grandfather having worked at a mill that got closed in the 70s, the Mapleton area that's close to this watershed used to have multiple sawmills along the Siuslaw River. But they lost the two largest sawmills. Actually, three out of the four sawmills in the area are gone. And the amount of unemployment and poverty in the surrounding area, rural area now, is incredible and oppressive. Over 80% of the kids in Mapleton School District qualify for free and reduced lunches.
Right.
And to have a plan come out to take 31,000 acres and turn it into non-productive, wilderness designation,
right,
basically, and limit access. Just that kind of has some of the folks there that remember the good times of not too far back of when Mapleton was a thriving community, and you could get out of Mapleton High School, go to work in the woods, and support a family of four. Setting chokers first and maybe working your way up to working on landing and running equipment. And,
right.
that was the way you used to make a living in Mapleton. And now, folks are lucky if they can get a job at the Indian Casino down in Florence, commute 18 miles to Florence one way, and work for minimum wage.
Well, we're seeing that now. And I mean, we've watched it at home. A lot of our sawmills were supported in eastern Oregon by the larger mills on the west coast. When the spotted owl hit, the first thing they started sloughing off was our mills in eastern Oregon. Union, where I went to high school at, we lost our mill there in 1988. And my dad worked there for 20 some odd years. And he told us, my brother and I, when the mill shut down, you guys got to go to school because this isn't coming back. We've lost. There's no restaurant. There's one restaurant left in Union, where there was four at one time. There's one gas station that barely struggled, where there was three. Yesterday, it just came out in the paper in Le Grand. They lost their bank. So the town of 2,000 people will no longer have a bank after the middle of June. We're just slowly watching the lifeblood taken out of these communities. The high school that was 300 kids easy every year is now down to like 120. They're having to combine with other schools to have sporting programs. Folks have to start getting involved in these things and speaking out for themselves, or they're going to squeeze what little bit of life we have left in our communities out.
Yeah, it's sad that there's such disconnect between the social and economic impacts, you know.
Right.
And that's what kind of, you know, they're supposed to do these broad-based, you know, analysis of some of these plans before they put them in place, like the Northwest Forest Plan, that's supposed to take in not only environmental aspects, but the social and economic aspects. And it seems like they always leave out the impact on humans versus the impact on wildlife. And
right.
It's just devastated our rural economy here in Layton County. And, you know, we're considered an urban county by the legislature when it comes
right.
to the minimum wage. So, Mapleton's supposed to be just as high a minimum wage as, you know, Washington County with Beaverton and Hillsborough.
Right. Well, that process that you're talking about with the analysis is the NEPA process.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened in that process is when they enacted that in the early 70s, it was for the government to look at how projects that they were proposing would impact a local community. So if they were going to build a large dam, they were to look at it and say, well, how are we going to impact this community if the dam floods or it breaks or we're cutting off the hydrology? But how does it impact the human environment? And somewhere along the way, that got flipped on its head and went from how are we impacting the human environment? They now use it as a tool to bludgeon us to death with of how do humans impact the natural environment? And we have to start getting involved. And when communities do get involved and they start talking about how those plans are going to impact the lives of those communities, that's where you start affecting change on the plans. And you'll get poo-pooed and you'll get told, oh, you know, we can't do it because of this law or we can't do it because of that law, whatever a person's proposing. And you're not always going to get everything you want. But you can fight for the things that are important for you, but you have to speak up for yourself. Because if you don't, they just go ahead and do whatever they want.
Yeah. So the true takeaway from all this conversation for the folks in Mapleton and Deadwood and Swiss Home that are upset about this Indian Creek watershed landscape management plan is that they really need to not depend on the other guy making
right.
a comment or the other
right.
guy, you know, looking at this and taking it. They need to stay involved, write a letter, even if it's a one paragraph letter. I object to the adoption of this plan, you know, because I don't like road closures. I don't think I'm concerned about erosion from what you're planning to do to the creek. That puts them on record and establishes, you know, in later portions of the process, your ability to appeal,
right.
you know, be part of an appeal.
So what people are doing within this process is they're helping build what they call an administrative record.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this, you know, within NEPA, when they go through this planning process, there's the scoping period, which y'all are in now. You comment
yep.
into that. The Forest Service has to, because they have an initial idea of kind of what they're wanting to do. You're going to comment into that. They're going to tweak to make it more workable for the public. They'll come out with a draft environmental impact statement. The public will have another opportunity to comment to that. The Forest Service needs to tweak it some more. And then they're going to come out with what they call a final environmental impact statement. If you don't comment along this way, then you can't object at the final. And then that's where litigation and the counties get involved and all those things. But if the people haven't done their due diligence along the way, then it makes it a lot tougher for an organization or a county government to fight it. So it's really the people's way of having the back of their county commissioners to fight these things and to affect change on it. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it does. And that's exactly what I was trying to get to was, you know, there is this process, but if you don't at least yep. even submit the one paragraph email comments or quick note on a piece of the back of a napkin and put it in an envelope with a stamp. You don't maintain your status to object when they get to the final stages, and that's really critical.
Right, and what folks need to understand is that when you don't have to write a dissertation. You don't have it doesn't have to be the Bible that you write, but you have to write what they call a substantive comment. And basically, all that boils down to is that you identify what within the plan you don't like. You tell them where it was at in the plan, and you tell them a corrective action as to how you want it addressed.
Yeah.
It kind of needs to have those three things. And like I said, it could be a sentence on each one. You're planning on closing road 223. That road goes to my private property that my family's owned since 1932. My corrective action is do not close the road. That's all you have to really do.
Yeah.
But
and those letters,
people gotta
do it. Those letters go to the Forest Service. They don't come to your local county commissioners. I just want to make that clear.
That's absolutely right. They'll go to the Forest Service, but then it becomes part of their administrative record that the county can work with if they have to go into litigation over it.
Yeah, and that's really important. You know, that it's one of the things, I mentioned earlier that I met last Friday with Forest Service folks to talk about the restoration plans for the Oregon Dunes.
Right.
The way we ended up getting there was they proposed a travel management plan for the 10C area of the Oregon Dunes National Recreation Area, which I won't get into explaining the 10C area and all that stuff. But they're proposing to close a bunch of trails. Well, the trails are only there because there's invasive vegetation that's closed off the dunes, and they have to cut trails through the vegetation to get between one set of dunes and the other. And there was such an uproar over the travel plan and enough comments, and the county was involved in all that, and we got enough people writing comments that they kind of pulled back on adopting the 10C plan and moved instead to this process of a restoration plan and looking at ways to try and deal with European beech grass, which was the root cause of why there were trails in the first place that they felt were getting dangerous.
But the core thing was people got involved and made sure that the Forest Service understood closing it off was not acceptable.
Yep.
That's what affected the change.
And that is just so important. And what really helps, the commissioners, and I've explained this to people before, sometimes it's difficult for your commissioners to fight for you if the agency we're dealing with doesn't see that the public is behind what we're telling them. If they don't see that massive public comment objecting, all they'll hear is they're going to get comments from Oregon Wild and, various, environmental groups that are going to say, we love your plan. In fact, we don't think it goes far enough. We want you to close more roads. We want you to do more stream buffers, and we don't even like the thinning you're doing or something. We just want you to to girdle trees and let them fall naturally,
right.
They'll get that from the various environmental groups and multiple ones. That's what they'll be hearing if they don't hear from the public that really wants to be involved and have access continued in these public lands. So it's really important for folks to write those quick notes, at least be a little bit specific about what they don't like. You can't just write a note that says your plan sucks.
That's exactly where I was going to go. That comment, we've seen that on stuff we've had filed. Folks just write basically that. Your plan sucks. I don't like it. That doesn't help the process.
That's considered a non-responsive comment, and it doesn't get counted.
Nope, it doesn't. But just a little bit of thought, and just like those three quick sentences that I said, is all the more you need to get standing in the process to help you fight your fight.
Yep. And, you know, if people are interested in finding out where they can find more about the Indian Creek Landscape Management Plan in particular, they can, you know, either drop me an email at, you know, through the county commissioner's office, send me a message on Facebook, and I'll send you links to this, you know, the page where they can link to the scoping letter and link to the maps and all that. And that will make it very easy for them to write a, you know, a easy set of comments. You don't really, the scoping letter is 2 pages. It's not like you have to read a book.
No.
Yeah. Four pages. And the map is a single page, you know, fairly easy to understand.
So the forest plan revision that we got involved in, and we're currently working through the processes of it, our comments for it were due August of 2014. That document was 1,600 pages long.
Wow.
And I read through the whole thing and developed, and me along with some other people developed a comment. I think our comment letter for that was 68 pages and 155 comment points or something like that. And each one was a specific substantive comment to deal with an issue within the forest plan revision.
I'm not expecting the average Joe citizen to go through that much detail.
No, but what I'm saying is that if a group of hillbillies from Northeast Oregon can make through 1,600 pages and get that done, getting through 2 to 4 pages on your guises should be pretty dang easy.
I got to say, John, talking to you, I don't think you're exactly a hillbilly, and that you mentioned Afghanistan. It sounds like you have some service to our country there, too.
I volunteered to go over. I had some people think I spent my time on the Pakistan border, but I did my time, but probably not in the same realm of what others did. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Still, it was going to a fairly dangerous area, ultimately, to hopefully benefit the world and our nation in trying to get it a little bit more stable. But you did bring back a great lesson, which is if you want government to function, you got to stay involved.
It's exactly what I brought home with me, Jay. If you can't, well, you could sit around and bellyache about the problem, but if you didn't, if you ain't participating in it and you aren't fighting for what you love and believe, then really you're as much a part of the problem as you want to think you're trying to fight. So people got to stand up. You know, however people feel about what went on in Burns, and I have mixed feelings about it all the time, that's what went on there, was people were tired of being walked on and they wanted to stand up for themselves. Now, whether they did it the right way or not, that's the remains to be seen. But you got it. For things to not get to that point, this is the time for people to be involved so they don't have to get to that point. I guess that's really an important thing to think about.
Yeah. And you know, there's something I harp on rather regularly, and that is government really needs to be down at the most local level possible.
That's right. Yep.
And what you're seeing with these road closures and denying access to public lands, that's government at the highest level making decisions that affect people at a very local level.
Right.
And we have to be involved, and we're fighting this huge bureaucracy that emanates out of Washington, D.C., but wouldn't it be a whole lot better if those weren't federal lands, if they were, you know, even state lands, so you only had to go to Salem to fight, or even better yet, they're county lands, and you only had to go to your county seat to object to how they're being managed. Plus, you know, folks run into me at Fred Meyer and at the local shopping centers or wherever else, and they can, you know, pretty well get a hold of me anytime. You know, how often can you get a hold of the head of the U.S. Forest Service or even your U.S. Senator or U.S. Congressman and actually talk to them and say, hey, I don't like what you're doing with this particular thing. And, you know, this whole thing is just where this country's kind of gotten upside down and forgotten that the original intent was to have your local government be your biggest tax bill and the biggest piece of government you deal with. And the federal side was supposed to be your smallest tax bill and the smallest piece of government you dealt with. And the state was somewhere in between.
Right.
And we have flipped that pyramid upside down and stood it on its point. And now, it, you know, little local governments like me have to do things like Baker County's done, and we'll have to adopt a plan or something and require coordination under some federal regulations and laws to try and at least get the attention of federal regulators, but doesn't necessarily mean we'll be successful. But one of the ways we can really be successful is if we have citizens like you and organizations like FAFSA that are willing to help us get the attention of these public agencies.
Well, it takes an engaged citizenry to do that.
Yeah, and you know, and it's difficult. You know, folks, particularly if I think about these folks down in Mapleton, where they're struggling just to even keep food on the table for their families. You know, driving distances to get to jobs because the jobs aren't there close by, and you know, dealing with all the things that modern families have to deal with now, whether it's keeping your kids off drugs to you know, all the other things you have to deal with, you know, raising a family, but taking a little bit of time to stay involved and to write a letter, because yeah, these are critical issues, and we're kind of at a tipping point, I think, where there is that pushback. And like you said, whether you agree with what happened in Burns or not, and like you, I have mixed feelings about it. I kind of think they chose a little bit of a wrong method. In their initial stance there, I think they could have made a much larger impact if they hadn't even been armed and just done a peaceful takeover. But that's, you know, that's 2020 hindsight and all that stuff.
Right.
But that's a symptom of this tipping point we're at in this country, where are we going to exercise and stay involved as local citizens and exercise our voice? Or are we going to allow a federal bureaucracy to dictate from 3,000 miles away in Washington, D.C., what happens in our local communities? And that's the decision point we're at right now with our local citizens. And you know, I think your example of what you guys did with your travel management plan is a perfect example of how that can be circumvented by active citizens.
Right. Yep, and if there was ever a solid example in the West as to how we've been able to do that, watching that process and our forest plan revision process, we've really shown how you can do that. You can do it in a positive manner. Now, I don't think the Forest Service would necessarily feel it as a positive thing because they've gotten a lot of heat for it, but they've rightfully caught that heat. If they would simply listen to the public and what the local residents are telling them, they wouldn't be catching nearly the heat they're catching. You can affect change on these things, but apathy is your greatest danger in it. You can't sit back and think somebody else is going to do it for you, or that nobody's listening to you and feel sorry for yourself. This is not the time to play the victims for anybody. You know, Mapleton, I've never been to Mapleton, but it sounds a lot like anywhere in Eastern Oregon. Folks are going to have to kind of pull themselves up by their bootstraps, decide they're bad enough, and they're going to start fighting for themselves. This is the avenue to do it through.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mapleton's a beautiful place. You know, it sits on the Siusaw River right where it changes from tidal to riverine. So you can fish for the salmon before they head up the river and the, you know, the fall Chinook there. And you know, it's just awesome fishing in that area, awesome hunting in that area. It grows Douglas fir as better than almost anywhere in the world, yet they're starving in the middle of all that natural resource. And it's just,
it's not
sad
the way
to see.
It's supposed to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
so,
not the way
so,
it's supposed to be.
Yeah. So we've got about 10 minutes left in the program. And before I get to the end of it, it sneaks up on me. I wanted to go back to Forest Access for All, or FAFSA, as you guys like to call it. I thought I saw on Facebook where you guys have got a fundraising event. Is that already gone by, or is that coming up still?
No, it's coming up. So we've been holding an annual banquet the last couple of years. It's actually going to be the day before my birthday this year, May 21st. And it's going to be in Baker at the Sun Ridge Inn. Last year we had, it's usually kind of a smaller banquet. It's about 130 people, give or take. Sells out fairly quickly. Last year we had people from 4 different states and about 8 different counties show up to participate. It's a social evening. It's kind of modeled around a Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation or something like that. It's everybody to get together that has a passion for these kind of issues to just show up, visit, meet like-minded people, raise a little bit of money, and just have a good time. We're a pretty low-key group of folks. So that's May 21st this year.
Awesome. That's great because, it is great for you guys to get together, socialize. It's great getting people from other states and other counties coming in. Right. And if folks want to get tickets or are interested, do you have some contact information for that?
I don't have the phone number for Torque and Wanda and Baker, but if you just go to our Facebook page, you'll see under our events tab and the banquet's listed there. I think I talked to the crew, we had about 70 or 60 tickets left to sell. So.
Oh, great. Well, I will just note to people that if you get on Facebook and just type in Forest Access for All, and that's F-O-R, yep, not the number 4,
nope,
you'll get right to their page there. And, you can click on the events section there. So I think you guys have done yeoman's work out there in Eastern Oregon.
Well, I appreciate that, Jay. And, one of the things I'd like folks to know about FAFSA is we're not a political group of people. We're not picking a conservative side of a message, a liberal side of a message. We're really there to help fight for what's right. And to us, what's right is keeping open access to the forest. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they are public lands, which means they're supposed to be open to the public. And that's right. Really an important thing I've always fought for in all my comments. What got me involved in the Oregon Dunes issue was they were looking to close public access to areas that were actually designated for vehicle riding. They were going to restrict access in some of those areas. There are areas of the Oregon Dunes that are literally set aside almost like wilderness where there's no motorized access. And at some certain times of year when the snowy plover is nesting, there's not even pedestrian access. They're completely closed during nesting season, which just started. So it's kind of interesting. Every area, every little piece of federal land seems to have its unique species that they're trying to protect. And it often gets utilized almost as a tool to go after this whole issue of humans are bad. We need to keep you out of federal lands. And, this Indian Creek landscape management plan just seems to be a continuation of that.
If there's folks in there with private lands, I tell you all day long, just like my family had the example of, if you love what you got and you want to keep getting to it, you better get in there and comment. They got to the point, Jay, with my family, that I had whipped up such a group of people when the travel management plan was going that they actually came to my mother and said, can you get control under your son? Can you get him to tone it down? Because he's causing us a lot more grief. And my mom's answer to them was, I pretty much lost control of him when he was 10. So I don't think there's not much we're going to do about this. But they'll even come to you as an individual and try to single you out and give you, we'll give you a special use permit or we'll do this for you. You'll just not. And you got to get in there and get involved. I mean, it's important. Folks got to do it.
Yeah. Yep. So I just want to remind folks that they're listening to the Bo's Nose Show. And if they want to call in for a question, it's 646-721-9887. And just press 1 if you have a question, and that lets our call screener know that you have a question. And we'll get you online real quick. We got about 5 minutes left. So just call again at 646-721-9887 and press 1 if you want to get in on the conversation. And we are talking with John George, who is with the Forest Access for All. And as he described them, they are a group of citizens out in Eastern Oregon that have been working on making sure that they continue access for the public to the public lands out there in Eastern Oregon, which includes all sorts of great forests that I've been out and visited over time. And you know, one of my favorite things was camping in Crane Prairie up there. Yeah, in the summertime with the clear skies, and it was during August, during the land is it Perseids? Okay, yeah, it's Perseid yep. Meteor shower.
Yep,
it was incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, and it's a dirty shame to think that you could lose some of those opportunities by simply just closing off a road so people can't get to it.
Yeah, yeah, and it was just absolutely you know, some of the most beautiful areas of our state are out there in those national forests in northeastern Oregon, particularly. I just
right.
Gorgeous countryside out there. So I'm sort of jealous you kind of live out there in God's country.
Well, you guys got some pretty country down your way, too. And whatever our crew can do to help fight and get some comments in, Jay, are you going to get a link posted up somewhere so folks can kind of follow that Indian Creek project? And then we could link into it for you if you'd want and get the word
sure.
spread out a little bit further.
Sure. I will try and get a post up on Facebook here, and I'll do it. I have two Facebook pages. One's my personal page, which I, you know, you're going to see a few more of my poodle pictures on. And then the other one's my actual county commissioner's page, where I stay more on the political side, and you won't see poodle pictures, but I kind of post political stuff on both pages. So any way you get to Jay Bozovich on Facebook, you can probably find that. So I'll try and get a link up there to the Indian Creek Landscape Management Plan page, and then that way people can go there and find out more about the project.
And there sounds like there's roughly 20, did you say 28 miles or 16 miles of road closure they're planning on doing?
It's 28 miles of road closure, and that doesn't include the 30-some miles that they're going to reopen to get to the areas they're going to thin, and then decommission those roads permanently.
Okay, so I know you've only got a couple minutes, Jay, but I want folks to think about what you just said, because this is what they pulled on us at home. They're going to tell you that those roads, some of those roads are closed, and that they're going to reopen them and then close them once the treatment's done. And part of those roads that they're telling you they're currently closed, your people are currently still actually using them. I'll guarantee you.
Oh, yeah. That was some of the testimony.
Yep. Yep. Go ahead.
I was going to say that was exactly some of the testimony from some of the folks there in Mapleton was your maps are wrong.
That's right. And they're going to be wrong. And they know they're wrong, but they're going to use that as an opportunity to backdoor additional road closures on roads they really want to have closed. And your folks aren't ever going to know it because they're going to think, oh, well, that's such road. It's already closed, and it was never really closed to begin with.
Yep.
You're going to lose four or more of what you love.
All right. Well, John, I just want to thank you very much for coming on the Bo's Nose Show tonight.
Yep.
And talking about forest access and public access to public lands. And folks, his message is clear. You have to stay involved. And you know, is there a one last word you want to put in there, John?
Get in and get to comment, folks. You got to do it. Get in and get to comment.
Yep. So with that, we'll say goodnight for this week's edition of the Bo's Nose Show from downtown Elmira, Oregon, and we will see you next week on the Bo's Nose Show. Thank you and good night. We'll be right back.
there, Jay.
John, you still there? Nope, we lost him. Hey. Are we out? Robin? Oh, Robin. You there, Robin?